welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you have something to say and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details or contact us at PR@speakuptalkradio.com. Well, right now, I have an author, business owner, and snarky blogger to share with you. She is Jen Flynn Shawn. Jen began her writing life at age 11 and has crafted fictional worlds ever since. She owns a micro press, Writesy Press LLC, and self-publishes her catalog of titles. Her fiction tends to center around a tomboy main character. Because whether the book is a romantic suspense or a happily ever after coming of age story, strong women are Jen's spirit animal. Published works include the Shaw McLeary Mystery Series, California Dreamin' Series, Creative Writing Kickstart Volumes 1 and 2, 30 chapters in 30 days with a release September of 2017, and Ripple the Twine, which is now retired. She is an ice hockey fanatic, road trip enthusiast, and lover of cliche. But only if it involves long walks on the beach with her husband at sunset. She lives and works on the surface of the sun. Guess where that is? Phoenix, Arizona. And I, too, know all about living on the surface of the sun, so I'm excited to share a fellow Arizona author. Let's get started. Welcome to the network, Jen.
Thanks, Pat. I appreciate it. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you here. I'm in Ohio right now, but I understand from friends that Arizona has seen quite a monsoon season this year.
Yeah, we're actually in the northeast side of Phoenix, so this particular monsoon season hasn't hit us as hard as some of the other areas around town, but lots of flooding, lots of lightning, definitely a good monsoon year.
Absolutely. We have a place at the base of the Superstition Mountain, and I've seen video of Gold Canyon and the water just rushing like Niagara Falls, just crazy time.
Yeah, it's pretty much all over the valley, and even some of the outskirts have been crazy with flooding and rain this year. Mm. So I'm happy we haven't had any of that. But, you know, to see rain come down in the desert is always nice.
And I love the smell of the wet earth and the dirt. It's just a smell you don't smell anywhere else.
It's true. It's so true. I think it's the creosote or something,
yes,
they say,
I think,
you know, causes that smell, and
yep.
Very unique.
Yep. I love it, and I miss it. Well, let's get started with your books. You have a creative writing kickstart book already out, and you will have a new reference title coming out the beginning of September titled 30 Chapters in 30 Days, which is geared to help new and aspiring authors pump out huge word count in a minimal amount of time using specific guided chapters for character, plot, and story development. Tell us.
Yes.
Tell.
Yeah, so I am a fan of NaNoWriMo, which, for listeners who don't know what that is, there's been this challenge out on the internet for the past, it's at least 15 years. I probably should know how many. I've done it now for 6 times as of last year, I think, was my 6th. It's the month of November. You goal yourself to start on November 1st, finish November 30th or before, and write 50,000 words in just the month. It's crazy, frantic, you know, writing as many words as you possibly can, no matter if they make sense or not, to try to get yourself a novel, or at least the beginnings of a novel, kind of started. And I have won 3 times. I have failed 3 times. And I thought, you know, with all of that experience and how to really pump out that large amount of words in such a short amount of time, I was like, other authors would probably benefit from, you know, knowing how to do that, or at least getting a little bit of a jump start in getting their novels put together. So I wrote 30 chapters in 30 days. It is a 30-chapter book, and each chapter has sort of a different theme and a different vibe, but all of it is about your story, your plot, further developing your character to really, like, push your character into a story, no matter if you're doing, one of my chapters focuses on doing something sci-fi, another chapter focuses on having someone in the story die and them going to the graveside, or potentially just having some lunch with a friend and having some dialogue, focusing on the character to actually develop any of that kind of stuff is really what will draw a reader in. It'll push your story forward. It's really going to make your book sing. And I really want to help some other authors or aspiring authors really learn how to do that so your characters don't come out flat. So maybe right from the get-go, even though it's going to be super messy and not actually a book yet, that, you know, you can really help yourself get something more viable down on the page.
Wow, how exciting and how important. I'm going to imagine many people would want to get a copy of this. And the title is?
It's 30 Chapters in 30 Days. You got it.
All right, by Jen Flynn Shaw. 30 Chapters in 30 Days. Wow. Now, NaNoWriMo, what does that stand for?
So it stands for National Novel Writing Month. And like I said, it's just in the month of November, which at first I thought was a little sadistic, I guess, because it's like, we've got Thanksgiving in there, there's family time, there's holidays, and there's stuff, you know, weekends and whatever, but it's actually the perfect time of year to do it. The first time I did it, I won the challenge. I went over 50,000 words, and it was extremely challenging. Luckily, I had a husband and a family and friends, like super great support group who helped just do things for me, like laundry and cooking dinner and like having us over and, you know, giving us just that little level of support outside of work, because you're really just beating your head against the keyboard and writing. And at the time I had a full-time job. I know a lot of aspiring authors have a full-time day job outside of their writing. And when I won the challenge, it made it kind of that much sweeter because I did it with all of those other things going on. And it's more of a proof to yourself that you actually can write a book. If you're thinking about it or struggling with trying to start, you can do it. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I loved it for that very reason.
Well, I like this message of positivity. There are so many people that have a book inside and they know that. But to buckle down and get it out, there's always something else that stops them that comes in the way. So I think that what you're talking about is very, very inspiring.
And you really just break it down. NaNoWriMo, they break it down. It's if you write every single day, you have to write 1,667 words every day. And when you break it down into little bits like that, it doesn't seem quite as overwhelming. You know, 50,000 words, if you're writing a novel these days, that does actually technically count as a novel, but most novels these days are running around 75, 80,000. So really you're just going to have the beginnings of your story, but you're going to have a story. And when you get to the end of November and you look back at that first word that you typed on November 1st or whatever month, whenever you decide to do it, you look back at that first word and it's like, what? I did that. And it's really just encouraging, and it lets you know that you can. And I really do truly feel that anyone can write a book.
Yep.
It's just the dedication and the discipline to really just getting it done. And I really hope that this book can help people kind of piecemeal it out into smaller bits that help them to really, you know, get to know their characters and the story that they actually want to tell.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like that cliche, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Is that how it goes?
Absolutely. And that is 100% in the spirit of this book. It's like, you know, if you don't just put your fingers on a keyboard or pick up a pen and a journal, you never will get a book done. And that first word is what kicks it all off. So just, you know, open your document screen or open up a journal, grab a pen, and just get going. That first word is like your first step to a finished book.
Ah, you're amazing. Thank you. I'm glad we started this way. We're really pumped up here. Now, you have California Dreamin' series. You have Carol and Chad Forever. I love that.
Yes.
Alternate Plans, which is the book two. And then your third book in the series is slated for November release. So let's talk about this whole series and then highlight your third book.
Yeah, sure. So the series, strangely enough, was actually born from work that I had written in a journal my senior year of high school, I think it was. So a lot of years ago, maybe way too many years ago to actually have used it as inspiration. But The character that I wrote in that little tiny blurb in my notebook, just she stuck with me for some reason for a really long time. And Carol ended up being born last year into a book. Her book, I love it. It's actually quite different from anything I had ever done. It's a peek into her diary. So you go with her on her journey from her sophomore year of high school all the way up through and past her, you know, graduating from college and her young adult life and moving on with her life, you know, who she meets, her friends along the way, just the people that are involved in her life, and basically her story through her own eyes and words in her diary. And as I was writing it, I wasn't sure that I was going to series out the character. My first series is a character series, so it focuses on just one person. And I kind of struggled. I'm a big fan of series. I love them. I think, you know, getting involved in the character's life is just fun, and you just never want a book to end, so that way you can just never end a book, which is great. But I didn't think Carol really had it to really carry a series on her own, so when I went back and reread after it released, I kind of had one of those little epiphany aha moments, and I thought, she's written about all of these other friends and all of these people who now live in California with her since she's moved, and why don't I start focusing on some of their stories? And, you know, where did they come from, and who are they, and how did they all end up in Carol's life and each other's lives? And so my second book in the series, Alternate Plans, plucks another character out of Carol and Chad and focuses on her story and where she's at. And then now the third one that's due out in November, I do have a title for that finally, which is great. It's Make Up Your Mind, and make up is all one word. That one focuses on another character from the Carol book, one of Carol's best friends, actually, that she grew up with, Cherry Davis. And she has moved out to coastal California. She's working in the mall at a makeup counter. And the story takes place in the mid-90s. Actually, all of the story's central focus is the mid-1990s. Just a great decade. It's my decade. I loved it. I'm a 90s baby. I can't help it. So much fun back then. And no cell phones, no internet, nothing that clouds the relationships that can come up. And Cherry's big dream is to live life as a freelance makeup artist. So she's struggling with, you know, how to put that together in her mid-20s. And, you know, how do you start a business? Where do you go with that? How do you make your life dreams kind of come true? And it's her journey through meeting a new guy in her life and meeting new friends and having her tight-knit group really helping to pump her up to just sort of believe in herself and, you know, that really she needs to kind of, like, take that leap no matter how afraid or vulnerable she really feels in taking the leap.
Yeah, another inspiring message, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just that kind of person. You know, all of my books, no matter what they are, pretty much will universally have a happily ever after ending. I really feel like, you know, in the little snippets of life that you can read in a book, you know, you're going to have characters that have terrible struggles and horrible, you know, disillusionment or their own personal challenges that they feel they're never going to be able to overcome. And, you know, as people, as humans, even if it's just the tiniest little thing, we all have little victories every single day. And I feel like I love just focusing on that moment where you might have had to go through tons and tons of things in your life, but here's that one thing that you're really working hard towards to make happen, and, you know, all the things that you'll do to make that happen, whether they're good or bad. And, you know, even the villains deserve a little break of happiness in a while, I think.
I love your attitude, and I love the title, Make Up Your Mind, and I do like the name Cherry Davis. Where do you come up, and how do you come up with your names?
So characters, sometimes I just know who they're going to be right off the bat. Carol, I had written back in high school, so I already had her name, but as I was writing her story and I was kind of coming up with different characters, Cherry's character was just really funky and fun and punchy, sarcastic, but, you know, just really a speak-her-mind kind of girl. And I knew she really needed a name that sort of expressed that as well, that, you know, something big and punchy. And I was, gosh, what was I watching? Oceans, one of the Oceans movies, I think it is. And Cherry Jones is an actress in there, and it just clicked, like, yes, that's the perfect name for my character, is Cherry. And so it's, you know, one of those things that just kind of like happened. As of right now, as I'm writing it, there's actually still a character in that book who doesn't have a name yet.
Ah.
Terrible, but you know, always it eventually ends up just kind of coming to me.
Yep.
Like this kind of personality or that sort of name of you know, someone that maybe you've met in your life a Cherry, and maybe you never have, but you'll know her immediately.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I know her already, Cherry Davis. You'll probably think of your unnamed character when you're sleeping or some random time. So
usually it's in the shower for me
too.
Usually
I don't
get my best ideas where there's no pen and I can't write things down, so I have to just tell myself over and over like a mantra basically while I'm washing my hair. Like, don't forget character name.
Jen, I do not believe you said that. I was going to say shower, and I thought, now we won't talk about being naked on this program. But yes, that's when I get my best ideas, too. So maybe it's the water beating down on your head or whatever. It kind of puts you in an altered
state.
There's
no other focus, I guess,
yes.
Right? Like, you're in there, and you're just washing your hair, like, you know, scrubbing your fingernails or something, and like,
oh,
I've got this great inspiration. It's the exact moment where your brain is the least cloudy,
something. I think you're right. I love it. Now, you have your three reckless books, Shaw McLeary mystery books. Give us a peek into those.
Yeah. Shaw was born as soon, pretty much, as my husband and I moved to Phoenix from the East Coast. I knew that I wanted to write a tougher, grittier desert rat. So she grew up and lived, worked in Phoenix for most of her life, ended up moving to New York City, got married, had this big writing career. She is a best-selling author many, many times over. She writes young adult fiction and some other, like, mystery, crime kind of things. Her entire life sort of unfolds in the first book. So I can't really give any spoilers, obviously, but you do find out that she's married and she's back in Phoenix again. And then there is a moment where she comes home, discovers that her husband has gone missing, her house is ransacked, and she ends up with cops at her front door, and one of them gets killed by, she presumes, another one, and she ends up on the run. The only person she feels she can turn to is her ex, also her ex-fiancé, who happens to have been in law enforcement and now no longer is in law enforcement, and the two of them kind of go on this crazy journey from Phoenix to New York and back to Phoenix again, searching for her missing husband, trying to track down where he is, what happened to him, and, you know, what happened in her house while she was just out grocery shopping for a quick hour. Her, her story is a little more involved and detailed as, you know, her personal life kind of unfolds throughout the three books that are there right now. But she is coming back. I'm very excited. I had thought maybe I would put her to bed, but she just keeps talking to me from the back of my brain, telling me she needs more. So she's coming back next year. And these first three books that are there, Reckless Abandon, Reckless Hearts, and Reckless Mind, they will be in the first collection of Shaw McLeary Mysteries. The second collection of Shaw McLeary Mysteries is all going to focus on missing. So we've got the Reckless Collection, and then we've got the Missing Collection. And I can't go into too much more detail than that because I'm very brief, sketched out the first of the Missing books. But she and her ex-fiancé, they still have some need to be tied to each other.
I figured as much. And now you will leave us with that. I think that's a tantalizing little morsel there. So we've got the Shaw McLeary mystery books. The three books are Reckless, and the next three will be called Missing.
Yes.
Yes. Then we have Ripple the Twine, you say, is a retired book, but I found the cover interesting.
Yeah, so the cover was actually shot by my mom. She's a professional photographer, and I really wanted something very specific. Those are my shoes on that cover, and a hockey puck from a old boss of my sister's, and just kind of brought everything together. I did retire that book. It was my first effort. I'm still extraordinarily proud of the story. I love my characters, but it's a lot stiffer than it should be for the genre of book that it is. So I decided to retire it, limited edition copy. So basically whoever got a copy, and whoever did not, unfortunately, unless you find one on Amazon, just randomly being sold by someone else, then you're probably not going to get your hands on it. But the cover, I thought, really spoke to who she was. My main character, Sarah Quinn, she is a sports writer, kind of girly, but not super girly, loves her sports, and that book is set in Boston, okay, my hometown.
I picked up a little accent. You said something before, and I just heard a little twinge of a word, and I thought, this is not an Arizona gal.
No, it sneaks out every once in a while. Actually, I've been told, because I'm a huge hockey fan, as you mentioned earlier, I watch a lot of ice hockey, so I've been told before that I sound Canadian. But Boston will sneak in there every so often. Just 6 years in Arizona, we're kind of new here, but love it.
That's what I heard, was a little Canadian.
Yeah, it happens.
That's all right. Now let's talk about publishing, because you say you have your own press. We share your publishing journey with us.
Sure. Yep, I decided when I wrote that first novel, Ripple the Twine, that I actually did shop it a little bit around to agents and other publishing houses. And it wasn't that I was getting all the rejections. I don't really care about that. It's part of the game. It's part of the industry. You're not going to click with every single person, and I have no problem with that. But I was getting frustrated that I couldn't let my brain go to the next book until I sort of wrapped that book up. So as I was having this conversation with my husband one night, he and I just talked about self-publishing. I'd never really done it before. It was very new back then as far as a viable option. You know, people weren't really doing that. If you weren't traditionally published, then nobody wanted to read your stuff. And I thought, I'm definitely a person who tries for precision and, you know, good quality stories about characters as opposed to just slapping a bunch of words on a page. So I thought, hey, you know what? I'm going to just try this on my own. And it was a lot of work. I'm not going to lie. Every time I release a book, there are more challenges every time. Even though I've done this so many times over now, you can't really remember, I guess. And the last time that you did it, it's like getting tattoos. You always think like, oh, that pain wasn't so bad. I'll just go back and do it again. And surprise, it's pretty much just as painful every single time. So I decided that I wanted that pain, like bring it on. And I really enjoy the level of control that I have then. I get to pick who my cover designer is. My mom has done a lot of my stuff. I get to choose who my editors are, who my beta readers are. When it comes out, I pick my own deadlines. I can make my deadline 4 weeks before the book is actually coming out, which is great. You know, in traditional publishing, you usually have an 18-month lead time. I'm now working under probably like a 5 to 6 month lead time, which, as far as I'm concerned, is just so much better. I'm producing like a crazy person, so I really like to put it out there as quickly as I possibly can. And I love that about doing the publishing on my own. It's definitely nice to be fully invested and fully in control of kind of my own destiny. And I know that sounds super cliche and cheesy, but it's true.
I agree with you. Thank goodness for self-publishing, because there is so much excellent work out there. And if we had to wait for it to be traditionally published, as you said, it just goes unread. So that's very unfortunate. Mm-hmm. And yes, it is. There's a big learning curve. And it seems, as you say, each time it's a brand new learning curve, but it is well worth it in the end, because you do have that control. And it's as good as the effort that you put into it.
Agreed. I mean, I definitely, especially one of the things when I started the publishing company that I made a promise to myself was that I would make my books feel, look, and read like they are traditionally published books. My copyright page is like, after culling through about 100 different fiction books, trying to figure out the right wording, the right order, you know, the things that need to go in there, even down to page numbers. The only books that I have in print right now are my Shaw McCleary mystery books, but at the same time, even my ebooks, I want them to really feel professional, because I am a professional. I take my job extraordinarily seriously. I show up, I do it every day. I'm not a part-time writer. I'm not a part-time business owner. This is it. It's my life. So I really wanted to make sure that it was, you know, looked at in a professional light. And I personally feel that I've achieved that goal. And I love that I can just make those choices on my own and decide how I want the layout to be, or decide what I want to title chapters, and I don't have anyone else telling me that I can't do it because it doesn't fit their mold.
Right.
I'm not a mold fitter so much, so it's nice to just have that on my own.
I agree. Thank you for that. I think that will also be inspiring to any writer who is listening. So you've learned a lot about how to write, how to publish. What have you learned about yourself as you've written your books?
Oh, my. That's a great question. So when I was a kid, and any one of my family or friends can attest to this, I was an unbelievable procrastinator. If I could wait until 4 days from now to do it, I would. And that has kind of broken. So I guess really what I've learned is that I can change. I can make my life kind of what I want it to be, because it's really the thing that I have the most passion for, I'm the most dedicated to in my life. And, you know, if I procrastinate on writing a book, nobody's telling me that I have to release it next week or I have to release it next month. I could wait 6 months, but to me, it's kind of like, what's the point of that? If I show up every day to do my job, I should get that book out there as quickly as I possibly can get it out there. So, I mean, I guess that, you know, to answer your question, I guess that's really my thing, is that I've discovered that I can, that I can do it.
Yep.
And if I can do it, other people can do it too. I know I'm like throwing all the cliches out there, but it's true. I'm just a normal, everyday girl who started writing at 11, and I just haven't stopped. And I know that there are other people out there that feel the same way, that are just writing and writing, and they're like, I don't know what to do. Just keep doing it, and you'll discover that you can.
Yay, that's a great thing that you learned for yourself. It's got to feel good and very, very empowering.
Absolutely. I try not to let it go to my head, and believe me, I have plenty of people who keep me on the ground, firmly planted on the ground. I do not usually shake my own hand, but I will pat myself on the back a little bit for really just pursuing it and kind of like going after the dream and making it happen.
Making it happen. Yes. Thank you. You're awesome. Well, we've talked about a lot. We've zipped around your books. Is there anything that we missed that you would like to bring up today?
Well, one of the things I did definitely want to let your readers know is that, or your listeners, excuse me, know is that all of my books are novella length.
Yes.
Ripple the Twine was the only novel that I've actually written, and that one was about 60,000 words. But all of my other books fall in novella length. And why I love that is because they're fairly quick reads. The Shaw McCleary mysteries all fall in somewhere around 35,000 words. And most people have told me that they can get through a book in a couple of sittings. My California Dreamin' books all fall in somewhere in the range of about 20,000 to 25,000 words, and that can be like a commuter book. I just like sharing stories that are fast but fun, and you can read it on your train ride in and train ride home from work, or sit down right after dinner and, you know, finish a book before you even watch, like, the evening news. I really just love that length. I think it just lends itself to kind of like this day and age where everything's very immediate and quick. But I'm happy because it's the length that I'm most comfortable writing. It's the length I've always been most comfortable writing. So I love that. And have been told that it's great, that, you know, people can get through it really quickly and then move on to, like, hopefully my next book in that series.
Thank you for bringing that up. I meant to talk about that. Somehow I got sidetracked.
And one of the things for me as a reader, I love a good long book, don't get me wrong, but sometimes it feels very daunting then, like, oh, how long is this going to take me? And I'm also not a person who can read multiple books at the same time because I find that the character is kind of muddy in my head. So when I'm reading a very long book, I dedicate myself to it. But it takes me weeks and weeks, and I keep looking up at my bookshelf like, I've got 15 other books to read. And so to me, it ends up feeling overwhelming, like this huge pressure. And so when I started writing, I wanted to write things that I wanted to read. I mean, that's kind of what they tell you. All the gurus and, you know, writing advice blogs and whatever you read is like, if you're going to write a book that you would want to read. And so it was one of the main reasons why I said, yeah, I'm going to write shorter books. I like shorter books. Shorter books can get done in a night. Shorter books can get done in two nights and then move on to the next book. But still having some really good, fun character in there to absorb.
I get it. So that's why your series books are great. So we'll look forward to the missing series coming up. Well, so where can folks then go to learn more about you, and where can they purchase these books?
Yes. So I have two places that I love to tell people to come and check me out. You mentioned I'm a snarky blogger. I also want to just sort of warn people that I curse a lot and I'm very Boston, and so that comes out completely. But that's my blog, and my blog is randomnessandlunacy.blogspot.com. I'm old school. I was started with Blogger a really long time ago, and I still love it. It's the easiest platform for me, and I just love being there. And my books are all available on Amazon. I'm pretty much exclusively through Amazon for Kindle and through Amazon CreateSpace for my print books. And that site is amazon.com/author/Jen Sean. They wouldn't let me put the Flynn in there, unfortunately, but it's just JennSHon.
All right, so we have amazon.com/author/JennSean. It's JennSHon, SHON. And then, of course, we have randomnessandlunacy.blogspot.com. I love randomness and lunacy. It's a part of most of my days, so I hope folks head over to your website, randomnessandlunacy.blogspot.com. Jen, any final words before we say goodbye?
Just thank you so much. This has been super fun, and as my first podcast ever, I had absolutely no idea what to expect coming in, but you've made this so super easy, Pat. I really appreciate it, and thank you so much for having me.